I guess growl, Momo. Let's go. I know you're shocked Mason's on vacation again. Now, let's get now so much stuff to get to, and we will get to all of it, including NBA Finals tonight here on ESPN LA. Last night we had the All-Star. We got everything on the show, station. We had the All-Star game last night. We had the NBA Finals tonight. Ramona, how much of the All-Star game did you watch?
A little bit. All right. Not too much, to be honest.
I watched it start to finish.
Did you really?
I did. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. It was actually fun. Those interviews they were doing in the middle of the game. Now,
that's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a crazy idea. I threw this at Ben Lyons this morning, and he said it's the dumbest idea ever. So I'm going to throw it at you. 877-710-ESPN is our phone number. So we'll take calls on this too. Matter of fact, we'll take calls on anything for the next 3 hours. If you want to comment on anything Ramona says, anything I say, anything Lindsay says, pick up the phone. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Okay. So did you see any of those on-field interviews where those guys would put the earplugs in and they would mic them? All right, they did one with Freddie Freeman. They did one with Chris Bryant. They did one with Nelson Cruz when he was actually at the plate. Those things are incredibly entertaining. You're sitting there wondering the whole time whether or not the ball's going to get hit to him. Like when the mic was on Freddie Freeman, Aaron Judge came over to first base and he goes, "Hey, man, don't say anything you don't want anyone to hear. I'm mic'd." All right, Ramona, baseball is 162 games, okay?
Yep.
It's the longest game ever. Could we get away with that in a regular season game? I would ban it for the playoffs. You don't want that in the playoffs because the playoff games matter too much. But, like, game 38 of 162, wouldn't it be awesome to have Joe Davis talk to Max Muncy in the third inning? What do you think?
I don't think you could get away with interviews at the plate.
No, I don't care about that.
But I do think you could get away with a lot of that stuff. Yeah, because the truth is, like, I've done the All-Star game in basketball where I was the sideline reporter, and I would just go up to the guys in the middle of the game. Right. I go to the coach in the middle of the game, who cares? And they just ask him stuff on the bench, and it's totally doable. They're not distracted. It's an All-Star game. Nobody cares who wins or whatever it is. But I think in baseball, when you have an All-Star game, like, there's so many people who are not doing all that much, like, who can definitely talk to you in the middle of the game.
Right, and I beat this drum all the time on the show. Everybody says, well, you can't do that. It would violate the integrity of competition. Mm-hmm. It's a TV show. All these sports that we love tonight when we watch the NBA Finals, the reason those salaries are so high and the reason everybody involved gets paid so much, it's an entertainment product. I absolutely think if you put Cody Bellinger on with Joe and Oral in the middle of the third inning, and you could put restrictions around it, you could say, look, every team, give us 7 players all year that agree to do it for an inning. And we'll never do it in past the 5th inning. It'll always be in the first 5 innings. I couldn't turn the TV off because I wanted to see what they were going to say next. I wanted to see if somebody was going to hit a ball to Chris Bryant while he was doing an interview with Joe Buck. It was fantastic. And baseball, and you know, Lindsay's going to disagree with me because her and Mason are big baseball fans, but baseball's boring this year. They don't have enough people running on the bases. There's not enough action. That wasn't boring. Lindsay, would you go for this?
I think it's good, but also I could see the problems with it, you know, especially with, like, cheating and intercepting signals and feeds and all that kind of stuff.
If I'm doing an interview with Freddie Freeman, who's playing first base for the Braves, intercept all you want. It's being broadcast. What are you intercepting?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're going. You're saying it's a slippery slope once you let people in the technology door, but this is a closed feed.
That's kind of what I'm... Yeah, it's everything's a closed feed, but until somebody hacks
it,
right?
I'm not saying none of this information is proprietary.
Yeah,
the
I guess
minute
you're right.
Freddie Freeman just turns the microphone off, or he takes it off, or what happens is there's all these guys that work every game. Ramona's worked with them. I've worked with them. They're called A2s, Audio 2. Okay, your
I used to be an A2.
Okay, so if you're listening and you ever hear the phrase A2, like the Lakers have the best audio guy in the business. It's a guy named Anthony Hurd. He's fantastic. He works the Academy Awards. He works the Laker games. He works the Dodger games. I've worked with him for 20 years. He's the smartest audio guy I've ever met. He's fantastic. He has he has people. He sits in the truck and runs the audio board. Anthony has people called A2s that are out to deal, Ramona, with the people like you and me and Trudell, the sideline reporters who are running around. If our batteries run out, if we go into a dead zone. I mean, yeah, those are the guys you always see. Steve, one of the best ones in the league, is based in L.A., does all the ABC games. These guys, it's their job to basically wire you up and then unwire you when they're done. And Lindsay, when this is over, the A2 would just walk up to Freddie Freeman in the dugout and say, give me the microphone.
Look, I think it's a fun idea. I enjoy it from an entertainment standpoint, and I totally get what you're saying. But I feel like it would just like open the door to more controversies in that
oh,
realm.
Oh, screw it. I want fun. I want entertainment. It is a TV show. That stuff was great. And by the way, Joe Buck was great. That's not an easy thing to do, what Joe was doing. Interviewing guys while you're calling a game and asking questions that they'll actually answer. And they made a joke about this last night. Everybody thinks Joe Buck hates their team. Joe Buck's one of the great announcers of all time. I mean, all time. I mean, no, people don't want to say it because he's a young guy. He's great at football. He's great at baseball. They threw him on golf for a year. He killed it. I don't know him. He's been on the show a couple of times. But that guy is comfortable swimming in any ocean. You can throw him in anywhere. And so he was the one asking the questions. But it was, I mean, those guys were having so much fun. I know that's more the theme of an all-star game. But at the same time, I think that is a great way to grow baseball, is to make those guys more human. And all the guys they picked to interview were Ozzie Albies and Freddie Freeman and Chris Bryant. Nelson Cruz didn't hear him at first. The one guy where it didn't work is the Australian closer, the guy who pitches from Milwaukee, forgot he was mic'd and started cussing. But that's okay. I mean, that's going to happen on cable TV.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not the end of the world. I just thought it was great. And the American League won the game. They always win. They've won 8 in a row.
Seriously, like every year. Just mark it down.
Right. Well, the National League had a streak in the 70s or 80s where they won 10 in a row. It's weird how that stuff works out. You know where the game is next year, right?
Here.
Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. It was supposed to be at Dodger Stadium in 2020. And they obviously, COVID had something to say about that. And so they rescheduled it for this time. But I think John, I think that you and I need to start our campaign to be like in that celebrity softball game that they do. We need to like get on that, don't you think? Are we big enough stars?
A pretty lame roster for the celebrity softball game.
I mean,
if I do say
you're the highest rated
radio
host
this,
for two decades.
Well, if Mason were here, he would make me say it in code. But since it's not, he's not. We don't work for the right station.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The Dodgers own our competitor. So those guys are all going to play in the celebrity softball.
Yeah, but we are broadcasting the game.
Right. Oh, and by the way, I will say this about the Dodgers. Lindsay sent me a story about an hour ago. Mason hates Rob Manfred. He thinks he's a boob. He thinks he's a really bad commissioner who always screws things up. I tend to defend these commissioners because I think it's a really hard job. And plus, the commissioner of my favorite sport, Adam Silver, is like the most progressive, smartest, easy to deal with commissioner of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just, the guy totally gets it. I think he could run for governor of California and win and be great at it. So all these people get compared to Adam Silver.
Yep.
Like Rob Manfred and Gary Bettman and Roger Goodell. Mason hates all three of those commissioners. He thinks they all are inept. So talking about the Dodgers, there's a story in the LA Times this morning where Rob Manfred said Stan Kasten, who's the president of the Dodgers, had comments about the Trevor Bauer investigation that weren't helpful.
Yeah, I saw it.
This is the dumbest thing Rob Manfred has ever said, and he says a ton of dumb stuff. First of all, Stan Kasten taking tips from Rob Manfred about how to publicly speak would be like LeBron James taking basketball advice from me. Stan, if you gave me a choice of if I'd rather interview Stan Kasten or Rob Manfred, give me Stan 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. And one of the reasons I like Stan, who's the president of the Dodgers and comes on with us a lot, is because he won't duck stuff. He'll answer anything. And so he was, after the Dodgers went to the White House, Stan was, he used to run the Nationals. So he went to the ballpark for the game, and he was joking around with these reporters who he knows from the time he ran the Nationals. And here's what Stan said. "It's great to follow up such a great morning." They'd spent the morning at the White House. "And now I have this press conference." He joked about the advice he gave Dave Roberts. "I told him they're going to ask you about Trevor Bauer. Tell him you'd rather talk about foreign substances." That's all he said. And Rob Manfred yesterday condemned him and said that it's really important that we all absorb the process the best way we can to get the right results. "I don't think it was a helpful comment, given all we're trying to achieve in this area." Really? Really? He was kidding. This is what I hate about cancel culture. And I'm not suggesting that Rob wants Stan canceled. But what I'm talking about is anybody says anything and somebody gets offended. I don't want Stan Kasten clamming up. He's been at the game too long. I don't think he will. By the way, Ramon, he used to work in both the NBA and Major League Baseball. He used to run the Atlanta Hawks. Yep. He's one of the great interviews we get. He was joking around. He didn't say anything disrespectful. He's been he finished that up with, we're waiting for Major League Baseball's investigation. What? Do you think by him making a joke to reporters, he's somehow condoning what this guy's accused of? That's ludicrous.
Look, when I saw the quotes, sometimes when you talk to people in real life, it sounds different when you read their quotes. Does that make sense? So I thought when you hear what Stan said, where he sort of made a joke, like, "Can we talk about the sticky stuff again?" Like, I knew what he was going for. I just think, like, when you talk about domestic assault or when you talk about domestic violence, like, when you talk about something this serious, like, you just can't joke about it.
Didn't talk about it.
It was a joke. No, but he made a joke off the top of his remarks, which in person probably didn't land as poorly, but in print lands poorly. But the truth is, like, he's not minimizing it. The Dodgers have a very good record on cases involving domestic violence. And I think with this, like, that's one of those ones where you're, like, almost too candid, like, you're trying to be too real with people, and you're making a joke because you're diffusing some pressure around this. But those quotes, Manfred's right, those quotes weren't helpful. But I'll tell you how I read Manfred's statement yesterday. Oh, good, somebody else can take the heat for this and not me. You know what I mean? Like, somebody else
good luck with
can
that.
Blame it on. You know, and well, I felt
Stan,
like
Stan Kasten has
Stan
been,
didn't deserve that. Right. He did not. I thought it was poor judgment on Stan's part, like, to make the joke, to be honest. But I don't think it's something that he should be front page called out for. Like, I just thought it was a poor, he has enough record on this that I think we can forgive that one.
It's the second day in a row we've had a story of somebody throwing somebody else under the bus. Yesterday it was Greg Popovich to Joe Vardon when he didn't need to do it.
Yeah.
And Rob Manfred didn't need to do it here. Mm-hmm. And I hope Stan doesn't take this and say, okay, next time I'll just be generic, because he never is. And that's what I like about him. And I just thought that was a cheap shot by Rob Manfred. And I'm a Manfred defender. I'm normally the guy, when Mason calls him an idiot, that says, do you know how hard that guy's job is to try and fix baseball, to try and keep 30 billionaires happy, to try and do all the things? It's a hard job. But I thought him throwing Stan Kasten under the bus was ridiculous. All right, coming up next, Ramona. I love mac and cheese. Love it. Could eat it every day.
Yeah, me too.
All right? It is National Mac and Cheese Day.
Woo!
They have taken mac and cheese too far. And I will explain coming up. Ramona in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. And Michael Thompson is going to join the show today at some point, whenever Michael arrives. Show's always better when we get Michael in here. All right, Ramona, I love mac and cheese. Could eat it every day. I used to, when I was in college, that's one of the few things I knew how to make.
Oh, me too. Four times a week.
And
like four times a week, that's how
if it's ever a choice, if it's ever a choice as a side at a restaurant where I'm
always.
At.
Always. Yep.
Yeah. Is it like, do you have an Urban Plates anywhere near you?
No.
I have an Urban Plates right by my house, and that's always an available side. Or like if you go to Gus's Fried Chicken, they have great mac and cheese there.
So good.
So I'm a mac and cheese fan. I can't get enough of it. But I think even for a fan like me, they have gone too far. You be the judge. All right? This from the New York Post. A limited edition macaroni and cheese flavored ice cream hits freezers nationwide this week. Brooklyn-based ice cream maker Van Leeuwen and Kraft Heinz announced this last week.
What?
Now, it went on sale this morning at 8 o'clock our time. It's available for purchase in Van Leeuwen stores across the country as well as online while supplies last. The company describes the ice cream as, quote, a cool, creamy scoop of ice cream that brings the comforting, nostalgic feeling from a warm bowl of Kraft macaroni and cheese. In or out on macaroni and cheese ice cream?
I would try it. The truth is, I am very low brow here, okay? I like Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Me
That's
too.
All I like. I don't even need the fancy stuff. Like, I almost prefer the Kraft.
Right, but why do you need it in an ice cream?
I don't really need it. I would try it just to try it, but like, I'm just fine eating the Kraft macaroni and cheese. And I'm gonna tell you
by
something,
the way,
John.
I'm okay eating it cold.
Me too. Oh, it's even better.
Oh, me too.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something that might be shocking for you, okay? I want you to brace yourself. You ready? You may never think of me the same. I like it with ketchup.
Well, you know who
I
else?
Like my mac and cheese with ketchup.
Well, you know who else does?
Who?
Michael.
Yes!
Michael puts... I'm not exaggerating. When he comes in, we can ask him about it. I've never met a person who puts ketchup on more things than Michael.
Amazing.
We'll go to a really nice, you know, I've had dinner with him 100 times because we're on the road together all the time. We'll go to a really nice steakhouse and they won't give him ketchup or they won't, you know, some steakhouses consider it like a sin. And Michael will pull a bottle out of his jacket and start putting it on his steak. He puts it on eggs. He puts it on like sandwiches. He puts it on I think the only thing he doesn't put it on is dessert. Mm-hmm. I think everything else Michael says is fair game. Are you that way? Do you put ketchup on everything?
No. It's just the mac and cheese. Like, I do like ketchup on a lot of things. But what's interesting is that it's about the ratio of ketchup to mac and cheese. Like, it can't be drowning in it because then it's too much ketchup. It needs to be mac and cheese with a hint of ketchup for me. It needs to, but it can't be too little. It's got to be just right. And it's, I don't know what it is. There's like you put it on top and then you mix it together. It can't be just on top.
Here's a question. Would you put ketchup on your mac and cheese ice cream?
Hell no. like as a topping? Like if I was doing a chocolate swirl on top or caramel?
I mean, I'd imagine it tastes like cheese. Like, it probably tastes like frozen cheese, right?
Why do
good.
We need mac and cheese ice cream?
I don't think we do.
We don't need it. And people like us will try it once, but I'm not going to go buy a whole package.
I would love to go out and find this stuff and would go to like multiple places to try and find it just so I can try it because I'm curious.
Jorge, in or out on mac and cheese ice cream?
I'm curious. Just like Lindsay, I would want to try it just to see what the hype is all about.
Yeah. Ooh, O'Shea says he puts barbecue sauce on his mac and cheese.
Have you guys had it like deep fried?
No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I can see that. I still like my ketchup, but I would try the barbecue sauce on mac and cheese. I actually do that when I go to like a barbecue restaurant. You get some of the sauce from the ribs and chicken and it like drips on the mac and cheese. And I'm like, well, let's just make this official and mix it in. You know, like, I just kind of do that. Have you ever done like pulled pork on top of mac and cheese? Mix it all together.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's. Yeah. I mean, that. Well, oh. Most barbecue places have mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is fine. I think mac and cheese ice cream is kind of sacrilegious. I just think we don't need it. Mac and cheese on its own is great.
Can we get a poll here? Do you like gourmet mac and cheese with like some truffle stuff or some, or do you like just straight up Kraft mac and cheese?
Straight up.
Yeah, me too.
Straight up.
I think I prefer the Kraft macaroni and cheese, but I feel like I have to make it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Do you? Like, okay, some wait, people, everyone you, makes it a little differently, you know?
Do you measure what they tell you to measure or do you just do it by feel?
I do it by feel.
Yeah. I don't even think I've ever looked at how much you're supposed to measure.
Yeah.
I just do it.
Yeah, it's on. Can I give you a little upgrade that it's been a happy accident for me, okay?
Okay.
Because I'll call it a happy accident. So Daniel, when he had his little food allergies when he was younger, we just got off the like regular dairy milk.
Yep.
So I started buying all the alternative milks, you know, because it just needed to give him some of that. So oat milk. That's a major upgrade in the way you make mac and cheese.
Well, you know, I have a bunch of that around because Lisa drinks tons of coffee and she doesn't like regular milk. So
oat milk
gives
it a little like butteriness to it that the regular dairy milk doesn't. I'm telling
you. Don't say we never give you people anything you can use.
Yeah.
All right, let me get this in here. And then we got a book of questions coming up. Michael's coming in. We got a bunch of stuff going on today. We NBA finals are tonight. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming, but we talk about Jeopardy a lot on this show. And as you guys know, by the way, last week, Lindsay beat Mason in Jeopardy. Last week, they're trying to find a replacement for Alex Trebek. So Dr. Sanjay Gupta hosted, did you see it?
No. Was it good?
He killed it. Like,
I like him.
Really, really, really good. Like, potentially could be the guy.
Wow.
But, they had a show last week, and fans are saying this was the easiest Final Jeopardy ever. Now, I'm pretty sure that Ramona and Lindsay will get this. Jorge, I don't know if you will, so Jorge, I want you to go first. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's the clue. In 2019... this public university attempted to trademark the word "the" for use on clothing and hats. Do you know who that's about, Jorge?
Yeah.
No, but I feel like we talked about it last week.
It's Ohio State.
Yeah. Right. Because all the players
always says that.
Ohio State.
By the way, I can't believe they tried to trademark it. It's so obnoxious. You know, basically, you know how this started. The players.
Yep.
When, you know, you introduce yourself on TV, like Chris Carter, wide receiver, the Ohio State University. I just think it makes them come across like pompous jerks. Do you guys, I mean.
It's become a thing now, though.
Right.
It is totally a thing. And that's what makes it funny, because everyone thinks Ohio State fans are pompous jerks. So now they do it just to irritate people even more. I think it's funny.
So Lindsay, people in Ohio will buy this stuff up if there's hats and sweatshirts that say the Ohio State University.
100%. They do have stuff that says the Ohio State, but they just try to get the by itself, like the word.
Well, do you know that there's a certain way people refer to USC that the school absolutely hates? Ramona, do you know what it is?
No, what is it?
It's in the media
guide. Oh, I know what it is. Southern Cal.
Yeah. For some reason, they hate Southern Cal.
Well, yeah, I would hate it too. I mean, I went to Cal, but I wouldn't want to be known as Southern Cal.
I have an update on the mac and cheese ice cream.
Okay. Yeah, what is it?
I have to share. So apparently, according to Eater, which is like a big food blog.
Breaking news. Thank you, Jorge.
They said, "We regret to inform you that Van Leeuwen's Kraft mac and cheese ice cream is very, very good. And it sold out everywhere. Their website crashed this morning from people trying to buy it."
No interest. I'm trying to find it right now
and I can't even find it.
I'm not gonna go anywhere and order it, but like if it's at a Cold Stone or if it's at some place where they're giving tastings, I would try it.
Nope. Now I'm intrigued. I need to find it now. I'm gonna buy it on eBay and it's gonna get to me melted.
All right, coming up next, book of questions. And then hey, you wanna buy Michael Jordan's house? It's available. The one he was interviewed in The Last Dance. And Team USA is back, Momo. They're back after two losses. They figured it out last night. We'll get into all that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. This week it's Momo and Ireland. Hey, Lindsay, what song is this?
Glory Days.
See, where were you yesterday when we needed you? By the way, Game of Games today is Michael's game. He always comes up with fantastic games. So Michael Thompson will be along shortly. Right now, it's time for Wheel of Questions. We spin the wheel every day. It's brought to you by Pointy Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around and not being used? Bring it to Pointy Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Pointy Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Okay, Jorge, spin the wheel. Oh, this will be fun. All right, instead of one question, it's three would you rathers. All right?
All right.
Okay.
Here's the first one. Would you rather be able to stop time or fly? Ramona?
Wow. Fly.
Why?
I just think that's awesome. like that's all of my dreams when I have, like, really cool dreams of, you know, like, I can do anything kind of dreams. That's what I dream about, flying everywhere.
But if you were able to stop time, you could live forever, right?
Yeah, but then you're stuck in a moment. Who wants to live forever?
No, but you could think about whatever your best year was. You know, you could just extend it. I think you guys are, Lindsay, what would you do? Stop time
or
fly?
What do you mean by stop time? Like Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell where he goes, time out, and everybody
yes, exactly.
freezes around you?
And then you just turn and talk to the camera.
I'm flying.
Jorge?
Yeah, I'm flying.
Flying is like, especially if you could fly fast, like think about it, you'd never have to deal with traffic.
Right.
I could leave for a 1 o'clock show from my house in Manhattan Beach at like 12:40. Be unbelievable.
Wow. All right.
That's number one. Number two, would you rather be rich and ugly or poor and really good looking? Lindsay, you first.
Very easy one. I would rather be rich and ugly because there's thousands of women in the world who started off ugly, but when they got rich, they're not ugly anymore.
Jorge?
Two words, pocket personality.
Yep. All right, Ramona, how about you?
Oh, rich and ugly. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, rich and ugly is the answer, but I got to tell you, if you're really good looking, there's certain advantages that come your way in life. That's one of the things that people, for whatever reason, are afraid to talk about. But if you're exceptionally good looking, you don't have to wait in a lot of lines.
But you lose your looks after a while.
I don't know. Did Paul Newman ever lose his looks? I don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying, like someone like Kylie Jenner, she gets made fun of a lot because of what she looked like before she got rich and what she looks like now. I'm not saying she's ugly. I always thought that she was very pretty. But when you compare what she used to look like before money and now with money, two very different people.
Well, if your point is that you can spend money to improve your appearance, mm-hmm. I mean, she's mm-hmm. obviously had a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, but, yeah.
But so most girls that are her age can't afford to do what she's done. But it really is a question about whether or not you want to be super happy young in life, because that's when good looks pay off. Or later in life when you need money. But Jorge hit on it. I cannot tell you how many times I will see. The story of pocket personality is if you ever see some, like an older man with a really good looking younger woman.
Yep.
And you walk up to the woman and say, okay, come on, shoot straight. What are you doing with him? And one of them said at one point, he has pocket personality. In other words, that she's set for life because he's got tons of money. That is a much easier way to live your life. Okay. Can I even read this last one?
Well, you brought it up, so now I have to.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to do it.
I'll save you if it's really uncomfortable.
It's not uncomfortable. It's just kind of gross. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, you ready? All right. Would you rather fart really loud or poop in your pants silently?
Oh,
definitely fart really loud. That one you could just laugh off.
No, if
the
it's
other
really,
one
what
requires.
What if it was consistent? That's what you were known for.
Well, you just have to lean in.
All you got to, yeah, but all you
got to
do.
I mean, you just have to just be like, you're the farter, you know?
No,
like,
but
I mean,
how would you like it if that's like, hey, you know, Ramona Shelburne from ESPN? Yeah, the girl that farts really loud.
I would rather be that than the girl that poops her pants all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, that's
right,
super,
but that's
gross.
That's silent. You could just go in the other room and change your pants.
No, but
that's
it's
really
not
needing a, that's yeah, gross.
No. I think
very
you guys are underrated.
And it would smell terrible. I would rather fart and be
you have to like constantly
smell.
Be like cleaning that up and changing your clothes.
Right, you would
and,
need
like,
very you'd need very good laundry services. At
maybe
your
you'd
home.
Have to wear a diaper even. That's gross.
Might as well.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the fact that if especially if it was loud, well, Ramona, we couldn't do what we do for a job.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of a segment, you would be farting.
You
well,
just have to lean in.
Plenty of broadcasters do that, like Wendy Williams.
Well, yeah.
What did she do that? Is that a thing?
I think we have it.
Oh, that was
she,
you burping.
She did.
No, that's tape that was... of Wendy Williams who burped and farted at the same time. But
well, I'll tell you, let me let you in on a little something like the other, like the, what are we allowed to say on air? I'm not even sure. Like,
I don't know what you're going to say.
The pee-pee. Can you say that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You just did.
Well, yeah, I think you can. Like the letter P. How's that?
Okay.
The letter P. Okay. That's a problem when you're pregnant. That's a real problem.
Really?
Oh,
I don't think
end,
I knew that.
The end stages of pregnancy, like you just you got to be real.
You lose control.
You get
so
all
to
that
speak.
Pressure
a
on
sneeze,
your bladder.
All that pressure, any sneeze, any
Boy,
like
you
cough,
know what?
It's a problem.
God may cut a really bad deal with women.
Seriously.
Like it's not enough that they're going to put you through the most excruciating pain
yeah.
of her life. Really, you got to add that to the equation.
Oh, and afterwards too, because you're all like, how can I say this without grossing everybody out? Well, you're all stretched out. Okay, like that's the only way you put it. Okay. I mean, you have to really work
oh, dear.
On your core. You
this
have to
show.
Work on your core afterwards. I'm telling you, all the women out there know what I'm talking
Who
about.
Who is producing this show? The show has gone completely.
Oh, dear.
You're the one
oh,
who asked man. The poop and fart question.
All right, we're
Come
moving on.
On.
Coming
I
up
had
next.
No previous knowledge of these questions for
yeah,
what
that's
it's
true.
Worth.
Lindsay did.
You, really, you know, we could have opted out of that one, John.
No, you spin the wheel. You go with what comes up on the wheel. Okay, coming up next. If a famous athlete lives in a house, does that make you want to buy it more or less? You might be surprised by the answer. We'll get into it next. Momo and for Mace, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, this week it's Momo and Ireland. And Abe, before I get to this segment about houses, Lindsay, I love conspiracy theories, Momo. And Lindsay has a conspiracy theory about mac and cheese, about mac and cheese ice cream. And if she's right, it might be the most brilliant marketing ploy of all time. Lindsay, share your theory. Oh, here's Uh-oh. Michael. Excellent.
Hey.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Michael.
Hey,
okay.
Momo.
So,
what
Michael,
an upgrade over Mace.
Yeah, there you go. Michael, somebody has come up with macaroni and cheese ice cream.
Oh.
But not just anybody. It's Kraft Mac and Cheese has partnered up with like a legitimate vegan ice cream company called Van Leeuwen. Have you heard of that?
Oh.
Yeah, no, they're legit. Van Leeuwen's a legitimate company. So, Lindsay, what's your conspiracy theory?
So, I'm trying to look on like all these, you know, look at all these tweets and look on these websites where people have aggregated the story about the mac and cheese website or mac and cheese ice cream to see if anyone was able to actually buy it off of their website or in the stores. I have not been able to find a single person that has a review for it aside from that one food blog. Okay. I don't think it's real. I don't
so
think they made it.
So you think they just made up a story
what?
That mac and cheese ice cream exists to drum up interest.
Yeah.
And if enough people are interested, then they'll make the ice cream?
How does that
well,
even
either,
sound?
Well, either way, it's a ton of publicity. Their website crashed this morning because everybody was on it trying to buy it.
How does Go that
ahead,
even
Mike.
Sound? How does that even sound good? Okay,
why it's
don't
like
you?
The, it's like the big baller brand shoes, right? Like everybody ordered them, and nobody got them. Right.
So
anybody got them eventually, sort of.
So you put macaroni, and cheese in the freezer and freeze it, and then bite into it. How does that even sound good?
No.
It's like it's creamy. It looks like orange sherbet. It doesn't have like chunks of noodles or anything in it. It just looks like creamy frozen cheese to me. But according to this, you know, this eater blog, they say it's delicious. But it's the only thing I've been able to find about it.
Michael, it led us when we were talking about mac and cheese. Uh-huh. A couple of people chimed in that they put ketchup on mac and cheese, and I was trying to explain to everybody that you put ketchup on almost anything but dessert, right?
Yeah, just about on everything. I don't put it in pasta, of course, but yeah, I put a little ketchup on my wife's macaroni and cheese, the Bahamian style macaroni and cheese. We make it sort of like it's very similar to a quiche type of a texture, Lindsay and Momo. So it's delicious. We had some the other day.
I love quiche.
We made some the other day for a party at my house. My wife gave a shower to a baby shower. She made some macaroni and cheese Bahamian style, and the ladies loved it.
Oh, I bet.
They couldn't eat enough of it.
All right, so let me.
So you put ketchup on it too, though, Michael.
Just a little, a little dab, not
exactly.
A lot. Little ketchup and a lot of Tabasco.
Tabasco too.
Yeah.
That's next level.
Puts a little spice into it.
How do you feel about barbecue sauce on it?
No, that doesn't appeal to me. Not barbecue sauce. Now some people might like
it. If you do some pulled pork. Or something like that, like some barbecue chicken, and then, there's some macaroni and cheese, and it just gets on there. It tastes really good.
Well, I guess it's all right, but I wouldn't go out of my way to put it on there.
All right, so, Michael Jordan, we all watched The Last Dance. It was really good.
Yeah.
So Michael Jordan's house in Chicago, the one that he did all the interviews for The Last Dance, has been on sale ever since the documentary came out. They still haven't found a buyer. It's 56,000 square feet. In Highland Park, which is a very nice part suburb outside Chicago, the home has been on and off the market for 9 years.
Why?
It was originally put up for sale in March of 2012 for $29 million. Most recently, it's priced at half that, $14,855,000. It's currently the fifth most expensive residence listed for sale in Chicago. Do you think it's hurting that Michael Jordan, for example, I always felt bad for whoever bought OJ's house on Rockingham, which is a really nice house in a really nice neighborhood, because everybody would drive by to see that house.
They did buy it, but they knocked it down, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So they finally said, the only way we're going to get rid of these looky-loos is to knock it down. So you guys know whose house I'm living in, right? Who used to live in my house?
Ooh.
I've never told you guys this story.
Steve Sachs.
Oh, so cool. When he played for the Dodgers and they won the title in 1988, Steve Sachs lived in this house where I'm living now. And when we walked in to tour it, I thought, okay, I had no idea. And we walked into the playroom and there was this giant mural of Steve Sachs playing baseball with the Three Stooges. It reeks of the 80s. Uh-huh. I mean, it is the most 80s looking thing of all time. And Lisa said right away, I'm going to send it to you guys. Right away, Lisa says, oh, we'll just get rid of that and paint over it. And I said, we absolutely will not. I said, it's Steve Sachs. Uh-huh. It's the Three Stooges playing baseball. I said, we can't paint this over until the Dodgers win the World Series. And so finally we kept it for 20 years and just took it down last year.
Wow.
But the best story in terms of houses of all time is Carlos Boozer. Michael, you know that story, right?
Oh, yeah. That was a cool story.
Okay. So true story. You guys aren't going to believe me. This is a true story. Carlos Boozer's playing for the Lakers towards the end of his career. And then he gets traded and he goes to another team. I think he went to the Bulls. So he hires a real estate agent to rent out his house. And it's a brand new house. He's got brand new carpeting and furniture and gates and doors, brand new. And the real estate agent calls and goes, I got great news. I was able to rent your house for even more than you asked for. He goes, great. And he goes, and you'll be shocked who rented it. And Boozer says, who? And he says, Prince. He's out here doing an album. And so Carlos Boozer goes, great. So Prince rents the house for 6 months. And Boozer says he gets back to his house after Prince has moved out. And everything is purple. The carpet's purple. The gate's painted purple. The doors, the fence, everything is purple. And so Boozer calls Prince. And Prince doesn't answer. And he goes, hey, man, everything in my house is purple. What the hell? Call me back. Nothing. Doesn't hear from Prince for like 4 days. Calls him back again. Nothing. Texts him. Nothing. finally goes, hey, man, I'm going to have to sue you. You got to call me back. So finally, like after a week, Prince calls Boozer and he goes, Carlos, I'm so sorry. I've been on tour in Europe. My people were supposed to put your house back to normal and they didn't. I'm gonna send you and your family on a vacation. Where do you want to go? And Boozer goes, well, we're thinking about going to Hawaii. He goes, I'm paying for all of it. And he sends Boozer on a Hawaiian vacation with his family. He goes, when you get back, your house will be back to normal. And Boozer's like, there's no way. You've destroyed the whole thing. He goes, trust me. So Boozer goes to Hawaii, comes back a week later, and he says it's like one of those CSI shows. You'd never know that Prince was ever there. Everything back to the original fixtures. Everything back to the original carpet. Apparently he does this all the time. And Boozer's, and then he wrote him a check, Michael, for what was like $500,000 for his trouble.
Whoa.
Like said, I'm so sorry. Boozer goes, okay, thanks, man.
Jeez.
And so the moral of that story is if you ever rent your house, rent it to a crazy musician because you make him way out ahead.
Wow.
That's a crazy story.
I don't know, like,
I would never rent out my house.
I was just going to say, I just visited Michael's house. He built a brand new house. It's right on the beach. It's, what, less than 2 years old, right?
Yeah.
Would you ever rent it? Even if you left for a year, would you rent it?
No, I don't want trust nobody else to be in my house. Don't want nobody else's germs and cooties in there. No way. Because they're not going to respect it because it's not theirs. Even though they sign conditions and a lease and all that stuff with all kind of conditions in it, they're not going to respect it.
Like everybody says you can make a lot of money if you Airbnb your house. Like if you leave from – like the Olympics are coming in 2028. And everybody's saying if you rent your house during the Olympics, you can make a fortune. I'm with Michael, Momo. I would always be walking around wondering what people did in my house. Well, I don't think I would do it.
I don't think I would either, unless I really need the money or something. But I don't really even stay at Airbnbs. I guess the same thing is true at hotels. But I know they have certain standards in terms of how they're going to clean, where I don't know that at Airbnb.
Right.
That's what you think.
I know. You're right, Lindsay. I've seen all those.
Like Mason stays in Airbnbs all the time, and he rents his house to people. And
does he really?
Stay there. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
I used to rent my house out to people on Airbnb. I did it for the Republican National Convention when it was in Cleveland.
Right.
And I made
a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah, I made so much money. And it was one person. It was like some girl who was a journalist who, I guess her lodging fell through at the last minute, and it was like $2,000 for a week. Then I started doing it because I used to travel a lot when I covered baseball. I would do it all the time when I was out of town.
How did she leave your place when she left?
Everybody, I never had any issues. No one ever left it a mess or anything.
Well, I told you guys, it's really hard to rent a car right now. Like car rental companies are charging an arm and a leg. And when I had to go to that wedding in Denver a couple of weeks ago, I looked into renting a car. The first stop we made was Salt Lake City. And it was $228 a day to rent a car. So I looked into this thing called Turo that Lindsay, you've used it. I'd never heard of it before. It was fantastic. You're basically renting someone else's car. Yeah. They leave it at the airport.
Cool.
You go. I rented a Range Rover for 2 days, and it was $70 a day with no fees. And so if you're out there looking for a car rental and you can't find a deal, go to Turo, T-U-R-O. They're not even an advertiser. That's a shameless plug just because they were really helpful to me. All right, coming up next, I was saving this until Michael got here. Nobody knows more about international basketball than Michael Thompson.
That's
he
right.
follows it closely. He was at the Olympics in 2016. He's been watching these Team USA games. After two bad games, Team USA played really well against Argentina last night. Are they out of the woods, or has the rest of the world caught up to us? Also, game four tonight in Milwaukee between the Suns and Bucks. Ramona and I will get into all of it with Michael next, 710 ESPN.